That's the Shemiz Baruch. We begin Perek Shmi, the 8th chapter in the Ram Sechs Avodin, Laws of Slaves in the Sefer Kinyan, Book of Acquisitions, where we continue the laws of Eved Kenani, specifically in this parak regarding other ways how an Eved Kenani could go free. We were talking about previous parak regarding the Get Shichur. In this parak, we discuss other ways how he goes free. As Rambam begins Halacha Alf regarding the prohibition of selling the slave to a Gentile, which would be another way, as we'll see, to go free. Hamichas Avdu L'Goyim. Someone sells his slave to Gentiles. Yotze Becharen. He goes free, meaning from the enslavement of the Jewish owner, obviously not from the enslavement of the Gentile, because he sold him to Gentile. But the Koivin is Rabbi Lachz of L'Knoisim again. What we actually do is we force his Jewish master to go back and rebuy him from the Gentile, Adasar B'dam of up until 10 times of his value, and V'chaisavli get Shechav Yotze. And we force him to write a document of emancipation then, and actually let him go free. That's another way how it goes free. Now, Vim Leirotz HaGoy L'Mochrin, if the Gentile does not want to sell him back, Afil Basar B'dam, even with 10 times his value, then in Mechayv Noisa Yosa, we don't force him more than that. Now, Knas said this, obviously, this penalty, in Goyvin Noisa, B'don Noisa, now you cannot collect it or advocate on this case, El Bevesn Mumchen, only with a court of those who are professionals that are smuchen, that have smicha from Eretz Yisrael. Now, Vim Meis HaMoicher, if the seller dies, the penalty does not go to the inheritors to take back the slave to go ahead and free him. It's only for the one who violated the sin himself. Halacha base. Lova al abdi min agoy. If a Jew borrows money from a Gentile with collateral on his slave. So im kavli is man, if he set a time for him and he said, okay, look, im magi is man ploini, says to the Gentile, if the date comes, I'm not going to pay up to you, tikne guf ebedze, you'll acquire the body of this slave himself. So then you're obviously saying that this is the payment, is the slave, which you're not allowed to give it over to the Gentile. So then the slave goes free right away. But if he tells to the Gentile, tikna ma'isa yadav, you'll acquire his handiwork, then he doesn't go free because he's not really selling him, he's just being able to utilize his work. Now, gvoi goy b'chayvai. If let's say there's a debt that a Jew owes to the Gentile. Now, he never made the slave into collateral, but the Gentile himself collects his debt by grabbing the slave. Or let's say they come on the Jewish master with difficulty. They want to kill him. And he redeems himself by saying, here, take my slave. Then the slave doesn't go free. Because the slave was taken from him not willingly. In other words, it wasn't his intention to let him go. It was under duress. And there's no place for the penalty. Now, halacha gimel, however, mochar abdi, let's say he sells his slave le'echad me'abdi ha'melech, to one of the servants of the king, or one of the officers of the kings. Se'afa bishu misri amham, although here also he's in fear of them, but still yotza eved l'cheres, this will force that the slave should go free. Nishal yochel l'faisa b'momenach, he could have appeased the servant or the officer of the king with other monies. Why do you specifically a slave? That is something that of negligence, and therefore the penalty does apply over there. Halacha dalt. Now, let's say he didn't sell the slave to the Gentile totality. No, he sold him for a period of 30 days. Or let's say he sold him besides for his work. In other words, not to enslave him. He didn't sell him, but rather just to have children from his maidservant to have progeny. Or chutz mitzvahs. Let's say he sold him except that he's allowed to fulfill the mitzvahs. Or chutz shabbos of yamtem, that he's going to get off Shabbos and yamtem. So these are cases that it's not clear if that would make him free or not. If there's a violation of the selling to the Gentile in that way. I figure, therefore, since it's a doubt, im tafas ha'evet, if the slave grabs, k'deidam of the amount of his own value, l'rabbi, from his own master, k'deishetzvim l'cheres miyad go, so that he uses it to redeem himself from the Gentile current owner, im etzim miyadu, don't take the money away from him, because it's a suffix, whoever's holding on to the money at the time, gets the rights of it, and since maybe it would mandate the shichur, therefore if he grabs the money from his master and uses it to free himself, he could do that. Halacha hey, echad meicher abdi legoy oivad abedazor. Now, whether he sells his slave to a Gentile that's an idol worshiper, oishem mechor legoy teshuvah, he sells him to a resident convert that is a non-Jew who, however, accepts upon himself not to worship idolatry. Afel akuti, which on some level was a regular ger, harizias lecheres, still he goes free because he's not considered as a regular Yisrael. Mechor le Yisrael meshumbed, if he sells him to an apostate Jew, which he doesn't keep the Torah, or is a suffix, that's a situation of doubt. Not clear, is that considered like selling to a Gentile? So if the slave grabs, according to his monetary value from his first master, to use it to redeem himself from this meshumid, again, we're not going to take the money away from him. Halacha above continues regarding the prohibition of selling one slave to chutzlaretz. First, we spoke about of selling to a Gentile, and we're talking about hamoich avdil chutzlaretz. If someone sells a slave to out of Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael, yotze mecharen, he goes out free because the rabbis penalized him that he took his slave out of Eretz Yisrael. V'koyvin is Rabbi Hasheni. Now, however, we force the second master, the one who bought him now, lichtav leget shecher, he has to write the document of emancipation. Of the adama, he loses the money that he used to pay to buy the slave. Now the question is, why we penalize only the seller, the buyer, and not the seller? They're both accomplices in this crime. The reason is, because if this buyer had not bought the slave, the slave would not have gone out to chutzlaretz only because the buyer was there available, providing the hole for the mouse to go into. Now, Amoich Avdil Surya, if someone sells a slave to Syria, Vafila Akoi, even to Akoi, which half of it is actually in Eretz Yisrael, in this regard, it's Kamech L'Chutzlaretz. It's regarding the selling of the slave, it's like you sold them to out of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the slave is going to go free. Loch Hazayin, Ben Bavel. Someone from Chutzlaretz, from Bavel. Shanasi Isha Eretz Yisrael, married a woman in Eretz Yisrael. So he goes to Eretz Yisrael, marries her, B'dayt L'Achs, his intention, however, is to go back home to Bavel. Now, V'chnis L'Ishta Avod Meshvachis, the woman brought into the marriage slaves and maidservants. So Harelu Safigim Him Kamisha Machra Isim L'Chutzlaretz. So that's like a situation of doubt. Is this essentially the case of selling your slaves to Chutzlaretz? Why would it be? Because the husband has the utility of the slaves. He gets to utilize it. And he lives in Babel. So it's like the woman who is in Eretz Yisrael is like selling her slaves from Eretz Yisrael to Chutzlaretz. It's not like you sold it to the husband who is in Babel. Shadeh Haguf Shalom. Because ultimately the body of the slave is still owned by the woman. And if it's not clear if that would be considered like when you get married to the husband who's in Bavel, as if you're selling it to Chutzlaretz. Because on some level it is like his that you're selling to him, on some level it's not like his. Lachaches. Eved, regarding a slave, Shiyotza Acher Rabbi LeSurya. He follows after his master. His master's taking a trip to Syria, and his slave follows after him. And when he was there in Syria, he sold the slave. So Eved is Chusay. So the slave actually lost his rights to go free by the fact that now he's being sold to Chutzlaretz, which we said Surya is considered like that, because he went after his master consensually and without the intention of coming back. Like, oh, but even when we say this, only because his master said, I'm relocating, I'm moving out from Eretz Yisrael to Surya, and he left consensually, so then he doesn't have that excuse to say, oh, he sold me to Chutzlaretz, because you went out to Chutzlaretz willingly. Now he sold you, that's not considered Kamech L'Chutzlaretz. Let's say the master was just visiting, his intention was to come back. And he went after him on this trip. And when they were there, he sold him. Then Yitzchak goes out free. And again, we forced the buyer to free him because that's like selling him from Eretz Yisrael, essentially, to Chutzlaretz. Halacha test. Eved Sha'amar. The slave says, I want to make aliyah. I want to go up and move to Eretz Yisrael. So we forced the master to go up and move up with him to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, or at least some to someone that's moving up to Eretz Yisrael. If the master wants to move out from Eretz Yisrael to out of Eretz Yisrael, he cannot take out his slave from Eretz Yisrael until he agrees. And within Zed, this halacha is b'chol zman, at old times, even in today's time, that the land is in the hand of Gentiles, doesn't make a difference. Eretz Yisrael still has this unique halacha that you cannot force a slave to leave. Halacha Yud continues regarding what happens if the slave himself flees to Eretz Yisrael. If the slave flees from where he is by his master, somewhere in the diaspora, to Eretz Yisrael. So, when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, you don't send them back to slavery out of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Pasuk says, do not lock up the slave going back to his master. We tell the master to write him a document of emancipation. But he has to write him a document of a debt in his monetary value until how much he can afford. He has to pay that back to the master, obviously, because that was not fair for him just to run away. Now, if the master does not want to free him, then actually the courts remove that lien that he has on his slave, and they let the slave go free. Now, this slave that ran away to Eretz Yisrael, Harigir Tzedek, he's a righteous convert. Moreover, Vahisla Kasav Ashara Cheres. Actually, the Pasuk adds on another prohibition, Lemisham Anoi, says whoever afflicts him and abuses him. And the reason for that is Shval Ruach Yisim Nagir. He's actually even more humble of a spirit than the regular convert. Because, again, he was a slave that ran off. But Tzivalo Akasav, and the Pasuk commands regarding him, Shenem, like it says in the Pasuk, Imcha Yeshev Bekirbacha. With you he should dwell in your midst, ba'achat shadecha, one of your gates, ba'tayvlai, as it's good for him, lo'y tenenu, don't go ahead and afflict him. So, afaynos dvam, this includes even the afflicting with words. And Tzitzis Lamed, so you come out, you learn from this. Shema Anes Ager, whoever flicks the convert, Hazeh, this one, that was an Evan, violates three negative prohibitions. Mishum B'leison Yesh HaZemisa, a person should not abuse his friend, that's for all Jewish people, and Pazim HaYikra. Mishum Meger Leison, that the convert you shouldn't abuse, that's in Shema Yisatzah every year. And Mishum for this one, that's unique for this Evan, that now became a Ger that ran away, L'tenenu, don't afflict him. And V'chein Evan, Mishum Yosef, violate B'leisal Chatzenu, don't oppress him. Mishum An B'in Yahino, like we explained the laws of abuse in Hilchas Mechira. Halacha Yud Beis continues regarding situations that are permitted to sell a slave to a Gentile. So Hakoyne Eved Ma'agoy Stam, if someone purchases a slave from a Gentile, unspecific, meaning he doesn't stipulate with the slave first that he's not going to circumcise him, V'leirotza Limo, but ultimately the slave does not want to circumcise himself, V'lekabel Mitzavodim, to accept the commandments of a slave, which he has mitzvahs like women, so he has a requirement to circumcise and to accept mitzvahs. And that would seem to be the default. But he doesn't want that. So, a period of 12 months, we deal with him, we roll with it. But if he doesn't want, then you can go and resell him to a Gentile, or you could sell him actually to Chutz Laretz. So, although you're not allowed to initially, but in these situations where you have no choice, then you're allowed to. Now, if the slave originally had stipulated with him, he says, look, I have no problem becoming a slave for you, but I'm not doing circumcision. So then you could maintain that slave as long as you want to with him remaining a Gentile. But you could sell him, however, to a Gentile or to Chutz Laretz. So too, a slave that did circumcise and did immerse for the purposes of becoming a Jewish slave, meaning a slave of a Jew, with certain halachas. And then, however, he throws himself into a group of bandits. And the master can't get him back. Not with the Jewish law, not with the laws of the nations of the world. So in that situation, again, he's allowed to take his monetary value from a Gentile, meaning even though in another situation it's forbidden to sell a slave to a Gentile, here he could, and moreover, because of a malabar kosher gum, he could even go ahead and process the document in the non-Jewish courts, even though that's generally problematic because you're giving significance to the Gentile courts. Here it's permitted, it's like saving it from their hands because you have no choice, it's a total loss of money, so therefore it's permitted. Halacha Gimel continues regarding the loss of ownership over a slave. Hamafker Abdeh, if someone declares a slave ownerless, so Yatzal Cheres, it goes out free, but B'tzarch Get Shechur, he needs a document of emancipation. Then Mesa Adon Shev Kidoi, now if the master that had declared him ownerless dies, Hayyidush Kesav Leish Get Shechur, then the inheritors have to write for him a document of emancipation. Regarding a slave that was in jail, who fled from, he escaped from jail. So in this judgment, if his master had already given up hope from him, he goes out to be a free person. But we force the master and he writes for him a document of emancipation. Regarding a slave that was in captivity. If his first master had given up hope from him already, which is like Hefker, so whoever redeems that slave, for the purposes of being a slave, you stop it, but he could go and enslave him. But now it's that second person's slave. Let's say he freed him to be a free man. So it's a free person. But if the original master had never given up hope of getting him back, so whoever deems that slave to be a slave, so he takes the redemption money that he used to redeem him from his original master, and goes back to his first master. But let's say he freed him to be a free person, so then, that he was not—he does not owed any money because he wasn't doing it to become a slave. So then he has to give it back to his first master without getting anything in return. Regarding a slave, that his master made the slave into a poiteki, in other words, a poitekoi, from here is where the collection is going to be for his creditor, saying, I owe you this money, you're going to collect it from the slave. And then, the shikhre, he actually frees the slave before his creditor could collect from the slave. The slave is actually freed. But Kaifin is Bal Khaibal Shakhri actually force even the creditor to free him, even though he really doesn't own him. The reason is because Rambam explains the reason is the one who freed him who owed to the creditor obviously has to pay back to the creditor because it caused him to lose his money. But we force the creditor to free him. Because Gamzim they took an oilam. There's also a remedy for the world. Shalifka bayla achazman, so that creditor should not encounter this now free man who used to be a slave. And the Yemeli tell him, Avdiyot, you're my slave, because you were owed to me. So to prevent that, he writes a get shecher, even though he's not really his, to prevent that problem from cropping up. Halach Yitzayin continues with a slave that did activities of what only a free person would do in front of his master. So Evet Sheisir Rabbi Baschayin, if there's a slave that his master marries him off to a free Jewish woman, which is forbidden for an Evet, and the master would not have caused a stumbling for his slave prohibitedly if his intention was not to actually free him, or Aisha Nichli Rabbi Tfilin Bereisha, or let's say his master puts on tefillin on the slave's head, which that's not the norm for slaves to put on tefillin because it's mitzvah Yisrael Mangurama, which Avadim are like women that are exempt from that. Or his master tells him Likrish Leishab Sukkum Sefer Torah B'Fnei Tzibur to read from three verses from the Torah scroll in front of the public. Or any one of these types of things that is only an obligation for a free man, and the master is doing this for the slave. So that's an illustration that he and therefore he goes free. We force the master to write him a document of emancipation. Let's say if he takes a vow, that we force the slaves, in other words, that there are vows that take effect on the slave and that the master could force him to nullify. Like we explained in the second paragraph of Nazir's Halacha Yitchas, by the laws of vows. His master tells him, it's nullified for you, meaning nullification doesn't work for a slave. It's only for a husband or a father, not for a master. But he is revealing his intention that he doesn't want to force him, which the master has the right to force him. And he's saying, no, it's okay, you're nullified. So Yotzal Cheres actually goes out free. Why? Since he's not forcing him, where the master could force him, he's revealing his intention that he's removing all his rights of enslavement that he has on the slave. So Mikan and the Emi says, from here I say, whoever frees his slave in any wording, and he expresses words from his mouth, that their understanding is that he does not have any remaining rights in the slave, that he has concluded in his heart for this thing that he cannot back out, although it itself is not a shechur, we then force him to write a document of emancipation, although he didn't write it yet, like we're seeing from this halacha. But what is not encountered in this halacha is im lova me'avdi. Let's say he borrows money from a slave. Or he makes him into a caretaker. Or the slave himself puts on tefillin in front of his master. Or he recites three psukim in the shul as an aliyah in front of his teacher, in front of his master, and he does not protest. He would not go out free because since the slave did it himself and not the master, that would not be enough of an illustration that he wants to free him. Now, it's forbidden for a master to teach a slave Torah, but the Mum David did teach him. Here also, Leitz Lecheres is not enough of an illustration that would not have him go free. Halachi Tess, regarding if the slave immersed himself for the purposes of freedom. Now, Halakeach Evid Minat Goy, if someone purchased a slave from a Gentile, for Kodama Evid, and the slave went first, but Tovab of Neiraboy, and he immersed in front of his master, L'shem Mechem, for the purpose of becoming a free person, he jumps into the mikvah and he says, I'm doing it to be a free person. Yotz Lecheres, he actually goes out to freedom. The reason for that is because a Gentile, as we'll say in the next parak, only has the rights to his Gentile slave in the ownership of the handiwork, but does not own the body of the slave. That's what he's selling to the Yisrael. When the slave goes and immerses himself for the purposes of freedom, he removes shibudim, which are rights. Just like Hekdesh will remove a shibud from a Baal Chayiv, so too or the Kedusha of Yisrael will remove the shibud, because there's no ownership in the body, and therefore he has the right to remove that shibud of his Maisi Yadayim. Now, if he does the shalib of Nirabi, he immerses himself for the purpose of freedom, not in front of his master, Tzach Lefarsh, then he has to specify that he's doing it for that purpose of becoming a free person. Now, Lefikach, therefore, to get the slave to this, Tzach Rabbi Lesakfa B'mayim, the master has to force the slave into the water so that he has a yoke of work at the time when he's tiveling as a sign of shibud, where then it's not going to help the intention and the saying of the slave that he's doing it for his own freedom. Now, halacha chav, Yisrael should talk of good cotton. If a Jew grabs a minor Gentile, or he finds a minor Gentile, v'dbil l'shem ger, and he immerses him for the purposes of being a convert, in other words, where he's intending that this immersion, that he should be a ger, and he should still remain in his slavery, how is a ger? So he's going to be a ger. In other words, what it means to say is that this immersion is effective, where if subsequently he circumcises, he's going to be a full-fledged ger. L'shem evid, let's say he's doing it for the purpose of being a slave, so then he's going to be a slave, meaning, and then you have to circumcise him for the purposes of being a slave. Now, let's say does Lashim Becharin that this Gentile should be a free person. In other words, he's intending that this immersion should be for conversion and for freedom. So then, Harizim Becharin, so he is a free person. In other words, besides that he's a convert, he's also a free person and he's not allowed to go ahead and slave him anymore. If a ger, if a convert, that his slaves or his maidservants went before him, they beat him to it, and they immersed in front of him. So like we said before, they've acquired themselves as free people for that same idea, like it's transferring now over to this new domain of this ger, and they go themselves and they immerse themselves, that just like by when it's sold to Yisrael, they could do that, so too over here by the ger.